Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our passage for this morning, upon which we want to meditate, is found in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 12. Here's what it says. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, keep your promise this morning, we pray, and attend your word, so that it, by your Holy Spirit, will work in our hearts and minds and enable us to follow our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. One Wednesday evening at a church in Torrance, California, we were getting ready for a Wednesday evening service, and a man walked in off the street, and of course we invited him to stay and have dinner with us and then stay for church afterwards. And while I was talking with him on the sidewalk, he looked up into the sky at an airplane that was flying over, and he went, phew. And then he said to me, did you see that? I said, what? He said, I just made that plane change course. And after church, I was driving him home, and we were coming up toward a stoplight, and the light turned green. He says, do you see that? I said, what? He said, I just made that light turn green. And then right in front of us, driving ahead of us, was a UPS truck. And the man sitting next to me lifted up his hands, and he did this again, and he went tweak with some little noise, and immediately that truck put his left turn blinker on and turned left. He says, you see that? I said, yeah. I just made him turn left. And I started wondering about that time. But by the time I got him home, I was convinced that that guy was not living in reality. He was a happy guy, but he was not living in reality. And you know what? If I were to stand here this morning, and in all seriousness, and that guy was serious, and in all seriousness, if I were to say to you something like this, I am the light of the world, you would think that I was not living in reality, wouldn't you? Some guy standing up and says, I'm the light of the world? You would think I had lost touch with reality. So why do we believe Jesus? He said it. Well, because he proved it, for one thing, by fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies, by another way, by actually bringing light to the eyes of the blind. I say this because there's no one else in history who is like that. Buddha claimed to be enlightened, but he never claimed to be the light. Muhammad claimed to be a prophet who pointed to the light. Jesus said that he was the light, and that makes him absolutely unique, and he stands alone in history among all of the founders of all kinds of different religious beliefs. He stands alone. And whoever follows me, he said, will not walk in darkness. People follow a lot of things, don't they? A lot of people follow the teachings of Buddha. A lot of them follow the teachings of Muhammad. Most people, I think, just follow their own whims and their own appetites, it seems like, at least in our country. But they all have one thing in common, and that is that they're walking in darkness. What is this darkness? Well, it's sin. It's evil, it's wickedness, it's spiritual ignorance. And you don't just find it out there among those other people. I find some of it right in here. If you're honest with yourself, you will too. There's some shadows right in your own heart. And the symptoms of that darkness bubble up, don't they, all the time? Bubble up and they come right out of you. Luther said, if you have a polluted well, polluted water comes out of it. Boy, was he right. I bet you've done this. You hear somebody that you know, somebody gives them a compliment, and you say to yourself, you don't dare say it out loud because you don't want to look like a jerk, but you say it to yourself, oh, he's not that great. She's not that great. You ever done that? I've done that. I'll bet you there's somebody in this room who's already been impatient with your roommate already the first week. See, that darkness is there, and it just bubbles up, doesn't it? It bubbles up, and it bubbles out of us. And Jesus says that when we follow him, we may sin from time to time, but we will not walk in darkness. It means we will not continually live in darkness. Now, I have heard people interpret this passage to say that Jesus is the light because he lights the way to heaven. That is, he shows us the way to heaven. And that is true enough, isn't it? But the Old Testament prophets did that. You know what the way to heaven is? It's perfection. That's the way to heaven. When you stand in front of God, that's what he's going to demand. Perfection. And it's nice that he points the way out for us, but doesn't help somebody much like me who is far from perfect. You could ask my wife to describe me, and she would use a lot of terms. Perfection would not be one of them. Someone else might say that Jesus is the light because he leads the way to heaven in the same way that headlights at the front of the car lead the way where the car is going on a dark night. But, yeah, that's true too. But what help is that if when you still, by the time you get there, you still have to be perfect when you stand before God? Jesus is saying here, not simply that he points the way to heaven, not simply that he leads the way to heaven, but he is the light that is the way to heaven. He is the light that is the way to God. And he is the only one who can be that way because he is God. God the Son. He's God who became man. And lest we think that that is just another nice Christian fact, and it doesn't have much bearing on my own life, let me tell you why he became a man. You. And for you. From all eternity, he had never known pain. He found out experientially what it is for you. From all eternity, he had never worn flesh. He found out what it was like for you. Not that he didn't already know. You are the reason he became flesh, and me too. He put on that flesh so that he could take your place, so that he could live your life, the life you should have lived, that life of perfection. He did live that life of perfection, and he did it as your substitute and as my substitute. Think back on your life for just a second, would you? And think back to those things you regret the most. They're almost always sins, aren't they? Something that I've done, I regret. I remember cheating a guy when I was in the fourth grade. Now imagine that Jesus came, he lived his life. You know, he didn't cheat anybody. Not once. So imagine that he makes a trade with you. And he trades your life for his. And he gives you his perfection in place of your imperfection, your ugliness, your sin, your grossness. He takes it all. But once he takes it, he's got to pay the penalty of that sin. And that penalty was death. Death on the cross. And that's what he did when he died upon the cross. He died there for you. Took all of your sin, every sin that you've ever done, all of it, took it upon himself, and he went to the cross, and he paid for it there for you. And he gives you, you know what? Perfection. So that you can take his hand and you can follow him all the way into heaven. May the peace that passes all understanding, a peace that comes from his perfection, give you life and peace as you follow him. Amen.